here running on empty. Didn't fill up yesterday before the gas prices went up. You're running into near $3 a gallon gas. As I mentioned on yesterday's show, in the morning yesterday it was $2.83, and then by just after lunch, $2.98 at the place down the street from me. Carol, you live in Illinois. Is it over $3 in your neck of the woods yet?
No. At least it wasn't when I left for work this morning.
I see on the St. Louis Gas Prices website that there are plenty of places that are charging in that $2.99 to $3.09 range. And they say that the average price of gas here in the St. Louis area is now up to $2.98. The national average, $3.10. A year ago in St. Louis, we were paying $2.09. That's 89 cents higher in 1 year. That's almost, 50%.
Yeah.
That's 40%, in fact, 40% higher in 1 year. And the Secretary General of OPEC says he sees no need to increase oil production at the moment. Well, of course he doesn't.
Yeah.
Oil is, what, $92 a barrel today, and we're paying $3 a gallon for gas. Why would they think that they would want to produce more? Because if they put more oil out there, that's only going to make it cheaper. That's how the law of supply and demand works. And when you have the supply, you can demand whatever you want. Well, here's a guy who thinks he has a solution. His name is Patrick Rule, and he's based right here in Missouri and wants us all to join his cause. Patrick, welcome to KMOX.
Well, thank you for having me.
What is your idea?
Well, my idea is quite simple. We need to really start to make some sacrifices and address this problem from the demand side of the equation. And I came up with an idea about a year and a half ago, and it's called DontDriveOnSunday.com. And I'm asking Americans all across the country to simply park their cars on Sunday, December 2nd, and I'm looking to take 10 million people off the roads on that day.
So just one day?
Just one. Well, you got to start small and work your way up. So let's pick one solid day and see how many people we can get to actually park their cars and stay off the highways for one day.
I noticed you chose the day of the week with the least amount of driving.
Well, it's also because a lot of the people that do drive, save for those people that do go to church, a lot of the driving that's done on Sunday is completely unnecessary. And typically on a Sunday, about 11% of a average week's driving is done on Sunday. A lot of that is completely unnecessary driving. It's actually being wasteful.
And so you think that if you can get millions of Americans to do that, that you will be able to convince the oil companies to charge less, or is it more on the conservation side that you're thinking?
Absolutely on the conservation side of things. And you have to remember, we ran this program in May of 2006, and we were very successful then. We were able to take millions of drivers, get millions of drivers to participate in this campaign then. And our date was May 21st of 2006. And from the response we had from the website, the media reaction to it, we were able to take millions of cars off the road on that day.
Yeah, but did that make gasoline any cheaper?
Actually, gas prices did start to go down right after that.
But that's because it was Memorial Day after that, right?
Actually, it was a variety of factors. It seems that every time that we've started up this campaign, it's right before a spike in gas prices, and then gas prices go down.
All right, let me open up my phone lines here for reaction. 314-436-7900, toll-free 800-925-1120. You do go to one point that I have been pounding considerably here, which is that no one talks about making any kind of personal sacrifice. I know we'll get phone calls today about, well, there aren't enough refineries. We haven't had new refineries built in this country in 30 years. People will blame it on the companies or the environmentalists or the NIMBY attitude, not in my backyard. We'll get those sort of things. We'll get, the government should do something about this. And, where they should tax these oil companies' profits more, which is not going to happen. And we should do something to explore drilling in Anwar and all that sort of. All of these are somebody else needs to do something about this rather than I need to do something to address this for my own bottom line, which is what you're talking about, right?
Absolutely. And it really is proof positive. This whole campaign is very much proof positive that one person can make a difference, and that person is you. You're making a difference, Paul, by having me on the air and giving a little bit of time to this campaign. It takes each individual has to make a choice before we're forced to make a choice. When the gas prices, you say today it's bouncing around $3 a gallon. Here in Columbia, Missouri, where I'm at, it's right at $3, $2.99 a gallon. We have to make a personal choice. One of the personal choices that I have made is I've given up my automobile altogether.
Oh, so you're not making any sacrifice at all when you say don't drive on Sunday. You can't drive. You don't have a car.
I've made a huge sacrifice because I've given up my car. So I don't, I walk to where if I need to go to the grocery store, I walk to the grocery store. If I need to, see friends, I get rides. I use public transportation. If I need to go downtown to Columbia, I get on a bus and I ride a bus downtown.
You understand, of course, that is impractical for everyone to join you in dumping their cars.
Absolutely. And believe me, I will have a car again someday. But it's as a necessity. We have to make some choices and some sacrifices. And right now, I'm in a stage of my life where I can go without a car for a few months and not have to worry about contributing to the problem and helping to find some sort of solution to the problem.
Let's get some phone. Go ahead.
I was going to say, we cannot look to the government to help us make changes. The oil companies are doing what they do, which is make profit for their shareholders. The oil traders in Wall Street, these gentlemen are reaping billions of dollars of profits just buying and selling oil for a margin. There's a lot of ways that the whole oil economy is just taking a penny here, a penny there, which adds to the cost of oil. And remember, Paul, as the price of gas and oil go up, the price of every single consumer good goes up as well, from bread and milk to all the consumer goods and services. The higher the gas prices go, the higher the cost of everything goes.
All right, before I go to the phones, one last question, and then I'm sure my listeners will have some for you. Don't you worry that you're going to hurt the local gas retailers? Most of these people are working on a couple of cents a gallon in margin, and in many cases they say that they're not making any money off of that. The profits are going to the Exxon Mobils, the Chevron Texacos, the BP Amocos of the world, and that they are struggling to keep their businesses open on a local level. Aren't you going to hurt them?
Well, I I'm not really out to try and hurt anybody per se. And yes, you're absolutely right. The gas retailers work on a very fine margin on their gasoline sales. But as anybody knows that's gone into a gas retailer and purchased a bottle of soda or a bottle of water, that's where those people are making tremendous profits. I mean, that is where their profit centers are, is in the retail goods that they sell. They're just getting you into their stores to buy the gasoline.
Not if you're not filling up with gas that day.
Well, and I'm not even asking people not to fill up with gas. People are going to have gasoline to drive their cars. I'm asking people
to not drive
their cars at all.
Okay.
Take one day and park it and just don't drive on Sunday.
Let's go back to the phones here, 314-436-7900, toll-free 800-925-1120. And here's Ann on KMOX. Hi, Ann.
Hello.
What do you think of this idea?
Well, I think it's interesting. St. Louis Shoe High did something similar last school year. But I just find it interesting that he's choosing a cold day where people go to church. It's a lot harder than in May, and obviously he mustn't go to church, or if he does, he's driving on Saturday instead, or maybe he's having someone go out of the way to pick him up. But
well, he's right here. Answer him, Patrick. Answer
well,
her.
I live about a half a mile from a church, so I just walk to church. And for all of the churchgoers out there, I mean, what a greater show of faith than to see people walking to church on Sunday.
But
I realize that many people live many miles away from their church, but we need to start thinking about carpooling to such things as well.
If we carpool, then we get bigger cars because we can't fit a family. You also don't have a family. But, I commend the efforts, but being December, it's pretty cold.
All right, thanks for calling, Ann. 314-436-7900, toll-free 800-925-1120. Why are you laughing, Kevin?
Because that's exactly what I'm thinking. I'm not walking in December. Can we? Yeah, May, absolutely.
And she didn't say it, but I'll say it. You'd have to change your entire wardrobe to walk to church, and you're not wearing the shoes you normally wear, ladies. You're not wearing heels if you're going to walk to church in order to conserve.
Here's Don on KMOX. Hi, Don.
Hi. You know, it's supposed to be at war, so why don't we go back like they did in World War II and ration this gas? I know I remember my father getting 5 gallons of gas a month because he was retired.
Yeah, that's when the whole country had 6 cars.
Oh, well,
it was a little,
not every person. It was for the whole nation.
Yeah, the entire country. You go back and check the stats. 1942, want. The total car population of the United States, 6.
You can laugh all you want to, but we had to sacrifice. We didn't all go shopping and have a good time.
So you would take part in this?
Huh?
You would take part in this boycott?
Certainly I would.
Okay.
I'm American. Citizen.
All right, Don, thanks for calling.
And we are not saying not that sacrifice isn't in order.
No.
We're just wondering whether this particular idea would work.
Well, the thing that I've been saying for a long time is that thus far, very few Americans have shown the will to sacrifice. It's always been somebody else needs to fix this problem, and it has never come back to themselves.
And you've also pointed out that nobody has asked us to sacrifice.
Right.
The message has never been, hey, cut back, you know, make sure you don't do this, make sure you do that. It's go ahead and shop.
Well, here's Patrick, and that's the request you're making, right? Well,
absolutely. And you know, we do have to take personal responsibility for the problems in this country. You know, and yes, we are at war right now. But this war is unlike any other war that we've ever fought, in that, for the most part, the only people truly sacrificing in this war are the troops that are over in Iraq and Afghanistan right now.
And their families back here.
And their families back here, absolutely. And 100%, we support the troops 100%, you know. But at the same time, you know, this whole war has been, it's been a contrivance in many people's opinion. You know, there was no real need for us to go into Iraq. There was a need to go into Afghanistan, and I think that was a very commendable job. But since we started the war in Afghanistan, and definitely since we started the war in Iraq, our country has really started to go downhill.
All right. Now, you see, here is where you're going to run into a problem. Everything you just said muddies your entire argument, because now you're going to get people who either agree with you or disagree with you making it a war issue rather than an energy issue, which is where you really should be focusing if you want to get people's attention.
I completely agree, and forgive me for getting off topic for a moment.
314-436-7900, toll free, 800-925-1120. Email is paulharris@kmox.com. Talking with Patrick Rule, who is the guy behind don'tdriveonsunday.com. It's not this Sunday he doesn't want you to drive. What's the date again, Patrick?
It's Sunday, December 2nd, but we've had people from our last campaign who have parked their cars every Sunday since May of 2006. And if there is a day of the week that people can pretty much conserve and not waste gas unnecessarily, except for those churchgoers, of course, it's Sundays.
I recommend Saturdays because you can just sit around all day and watch college football.
Anyway.
I sit around on Sunday and watch pro football.
And here's my recommendation as we go to more calls, I'm sure, Paul, is onelesstrip.com or .org. One less trip. Take one less trip. Because people do that. Go to the grocery store. Oh, I forgot to do so-and-so and go back out again.
Well, if you forgot to do it and you have to do it, then you have to make that trip.
Probably not.
314-436-7900, toll free, 800-925-1120. Some more people want to get in on your idea here, Patrick, including Mark. What do you think, Mark?
Well, first of all, when you all laughed at the guy that called about the gas stamps during the Second World War, it really got my goat. I found it a little offensive because, you know, and to the lady who talked about SLUD this last year and walking to church, I want you all to think about the soldiers, airmen, Marines that are there in 120-degree heat, walking around with 80 pounds on their back. And, you know, I could be more, I'm probably 180 degrees politically from this young man that's doing this, who I commend, by the way. But,
thank you.
You know, we all ought to just think, well, gee, walking a mile to church, you know, that's not such a big sacrifice if it sends a message to our politicians, to the oil companies.
Mark, you actually agree with me. I'm the one who's been calling for people to be more conscientious in this, to get more fuel-efficient vehicles, to conserve, to do things like this voluntarily rather than having it enforced upon them by anybody else. And my comments about the cars in the Second World War, while we didn't only have six cars in the United States of America, we were not a car-driven society. Route 66 didn't become popular until cars exploded into suburbia in the 50s, and in the 50 or 60 years since then, we have become a car culture. So it was a little bit easier to ration gas in 1942 than it would be in 2007. That's my point.
Well, that may be the point, but what he was talking about, and what the stamps, the gas stamps imply, is that we all start to sacrifice a little bit so that, you know, these young men and women overseas, they don't have to be there anymore.
And what sacrifices have you made, Mark?
Let's see. What have we made? I got rid of my Lincoln Town Car.
That's good.
Bought a Chevrolet that gets 34 miles to the gallon.
Excellent.
We plan our trips, just like Carol said. We don't try and make extra trips. We use the car as little as we can.
Excellent.
We try and buy gas when it's at its lowest point. We walk more. And I think we're trying to do what we can. And if I'll tell you what, on Sunday, December 2nd, we'll stay home. We'll walk the 3/4 of a mile to Mass, and we'll walk back home.
All right, Mark, I'm glad you called.
Yeah,
thank you.
There's a big difference here, too.
I was just going to say quickly that I probably live like, I don't know, maybe 5 miles from my church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, I may go to church and go nowhere else that day, but that's just about our normal routine.
Mm-hmm.
So there isn't any real sacrifice. A lot of people do go to church and they just go home. So even if you don't do this on that day, the what we've been talking about on this show for months is to do something. We don't need to wait for President Bush to say, do something.
Right. Even if it's your own bottom line, even if you look at the gas prices and say, wow, $3 a gallon, and it's probably going to be going higher than that, this is going to affect me in my own checkbook. I got to make some changes myself. Maybe that's when it starts affecting what people drive, how they drive, where they drive, when they drive, and all of those things.
Right. But the people that sacrificed in the 40s didn't do so voluntarily. They did so because they were forced to. They were told to. You had no choice.
Right.
You had your facility to build cars became a facility to build tanks, and your fuel stamps were given to you, and you could not get the gas any other way. And we are not in that situation because nobody is putting us in that spot. So you can't really compare those two things.
314-436-7900, toll free, 800-925-1120. Email paulharris@kmox.com. Patrick Rule is on the phone with us. He's the guy behind don'tdriveonsunday.com. Doesn't want you to drive on Sunday, December 2nd. Says that he did this a year and a half ago. What was the date of that one, Patrick?
The first date on that one was May 21st. And again, the whole purpose of this entire campaign is to have a discussion. Let's get people talking and thinking about ways that we can take our own responsibility for the continuing gas crisis. And believe me, not very much has really changed. The price has gone up, it's gone down, we've had good prices, and when the price of gas gets down to $2.09 like it was earlier this year, we forget about this, and we just drive along in our cars, and everything is okay. And then all of a sudden gas spikes again up to $3 a gallon or better, and we're all feeling the pain. Why are we not having this discussion on an ongoing basis?
314-436-7900, toll-free, 800-925-1120. Paul, you're on KMOX. Hi.
How you doing?
Good.
Good. You know, I really like the symbolism of it. I mean, this could be just a drop in a big ocean of oil, but, you know, maybe it'll get people start to think, you know, maybe I don't need to go out on Sunday afternoon and go to Home Depot or go to Schnucks or whatever. And, you know, maybe it's good for families. Maybe it's good for neighborhoods. I don't know. I tell you what, if it rains Sunday on that 2nd, I'm going to drive to Mass. There's no doubt about that. But maybe I'll drive less on Sundays. I don't know.
All right. Thanks for calling.
You bet.
Here's Rich on KMOX. Hello, Rich.
Paul, I'm glad somebody is really finally addressing this. But the thing that concerns me, and I may be totally wrong, I have never once heard conserve come out of the President of the United States' mouth. And he himself could set a real example, and these gas prices, they're not hurting the people with money. They're hurting the low-end people. But again, I think the President of the United States, we have to basically, you know, account for our own actions. But him, by coming out, addressing the nation, or doing just once. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he did, but I don't think I've ever heard them words come out of his mouth.
All right, Rich, I will correct you because I remember this. Every year the president has given his State of the Union address, he has talked about conservation as part of a new energy package in this country, and he's talked about the hydrogen car, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He has never done a speech specifically about this, and it has always been buried and been a very, very small part of that State of the Union address. He is not going to do what Jimmy Carter did in the late 70s, which is tell you to lower your thermostat, put on a sweater and drive less, because that was part of that whole energy crisis of the late 70s, in which, by the way, we did have enforced gas rationing, odd even gas days, right, based on what your license plate was, lines down the block, price caps imposed by the government, which killed American drivers, just killed us completely. So the president has kind of given it lip service. But again, if you're waiting to hear that from him, why are you waiting rather than looking at your own bottom line and saying, I'm paying 40% more for gas than I was a year ago? If there were something else in your life that cost 40% more, you would probably cut down on the use of that product if it went up that much in a single year. 314-436-7900, toll free 800-925-1120. Here's Steve on KMOX. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Paul. In conjunction with what Patrick's talking about, and President Bush did come out earlier this year and suggested that, and I think he set up a commission to study reduction of 20% of the oil in the United States in the next few years. Along with that, our company took a look at that. We moved to four-day work weeks, 10 hours a day, and dropped the fifth day.
Wow.
One day of driving out of five, that's 20%.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we elected to do it. We had a union negotiation, a vote. It passed unanimously. And we had three people out of 30. We're a small company, and it worked pretty good. But we had three people out of 30 that couldn't do it, so we left them on eight-hour days. 4 days a week.
But everybody else was able to cut down on their driving and save a little bit on gas. I'm glad you called. Patrick, here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to get back in touch with you in a couple of weeks and see what kind of support you're getting, and then maybe even after December 2nd. I don't know if there's any way to compile statistics on how much driving Americans do that day. I think you have to kind of take it on their own word, on their own, you know, on faith that they're telling you the truth. But we'll see how effective your proposal is, and I appreciate you sharing it with my audience.
Well, I appreciate you giving us so much time on this, and I do want to encourage people to go to the website don'tdriveonsunday.com. There is an online forum where you can actually post your pledge and say, I'm going to stay at home and I'm not going to drive on Sunday, December 2nd.
All right, Patrick Rule here on the Paul Harris Show on KMOX.